could see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war effort and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this program, and welcome to all of you. When we get started here, make sure you go through, if you would, talkstreamlive.com, and you click on my picture there, Thomas Gamble, and it'll bring you back to the website. And that sort of tells me, you know, where we stand among the talk shows. And it also puts out there for people to join in to the broadcast on a talk stream live. Gives me an idea where we set in the scheme of things this days and times on the talk show subject matters. Today is going to be the true state of affairs. That's what I called it on talk stream live. I'm going to connect a lot of dots today. I'm going to go a lot of areas. Current news, show how they fit in reality. And I'm going to probably get in some forbidden areas that, because people of religious affiliation will get a little uptight, maybe. You see, there is no religion. Jesus Christ is not about religion. You know, I could, in essence, I could go out here and say, well, you know, I'm tired of being a snuffy. I'm just going to invent some religion. I call it, give it a name or something. I don't know, whatever. Then I'll take a little bit out of Hinduism, a little bit out of Christianity, a little bit out of Islam, you know, just all the good parts, the really good parts, you know. And then I'll take a couple of courses and learn to become a dynamic speaker. Toastmasters, there you go. And start writing articles and do some CDs, YouTubes, you know, get out there a little bit and start soliciting for members of my cult. But you got to make it really palatable to bring people in. They'll look at the tenets, the precepts. Oh, I like this. Where'd you? And you link it up to the Bible because that's the part that, you know, that pulls them in. You think it has power. So I use some biblical principles because everybody uses all the good parts. And you read some of the verses you don't like. No. So, and the way you get people not to look at it is you become charismatic and, well, you learn terms to say to people like Arnold Murray says. After you've explained everything, you say, you don't have to quote. You don't have to read the Bible. Just listen to me. And then from then on, you can't lose them. You got to keep being charismatic. You understand? You got to be charismatic. You can't sit there and hee-haw about it. You got to be definite. And then you use scripture that you've cherry-picked out of the Bible and a few Gnostic books here and there, you know, just knock around a little bit, no pun intended. And you pull some people in. As a matter of fact, one man did that, but he had a little extra group behind him. Jim Jones did just that. However, he had a lot of help. He wasn't by himself. Jimmy Jones here was a student of Father Divine, a demon-possessed preacher, deep in the occult. And Jones, in fact, Jim Jones, is Jones, watch out for the Joneses. Literally, actually. Terry Jones, Alex Jones. Interesting. Anyway, Jones was a powerful warlock and a well-trained Jesuit. He was a Jesuit. So was Castro. Billy Graham's a Jesuit. Oh, that's a fact. I got a picture of him receiving his Jesuit degree. He's also a 33rd degree Freemason. Yeah. Well, Jim Jones was also a Jesuit. You see, Jones was in ecumenical charismatic work, and the charismatic movement was created by the Illuminati. And you know, he preached the love gospel. Down in Florida, they preached the prosperity gospel. It's all a bunch of baloney. But anyway, most of his followers were former or Roman Catholics, and they were from Roman Catholic backgrounds. Others were unsaved Protestants, and they came from a variety of denominations. And around 1953, he established the Christian Assembly of God Church. You got Chuck Smith, you got all these folks are trained by Jesuits. They're Freemasons, or the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. It's all intermeshed into a religious heresy. But you know, 10 years after he established this, he became a missionary to Brazil. And this boy was associated with the Christian Assembly of God, which he founded. Well, about 2 years later, about 1964, I believe, he was ordained on the Disciples of Church, Christ Church, and his key people were Roman Catholics. And you know, like a good old Jesuit that he was, he ordered his followers to call him Father and to pray to him in 1973. This is not saying the Bible not to call anybody Father other than there's only one Father. And definitely don't call anybody rabbi or father of a religious nature or master. Because only one, that's Jesus Christ. And you know, his church attracted top figures in political and religious worlds, like Rosalynn Carter. Imagine that. Her husband, Jimmy Bob Carter, like Billy Bob Clinton. They were cousins too, by the way. She representing the President of the United States and Governor Jerry Brown, a Jesuit-trained governor, Mayor Moscone of San Francisco, and state senators and assemblymen and attorney generals. He's endorsed by several religious leaders. Jimmy Carter helped form it, continue on with the depopulation. That means to kill people. Depopulation plan called Global 2000, which was the necessary organization that they deemed necessary for the continuity of the original depopulation plan, NSSM 200, by Kissinger and Alexander. More globalist. And all this was part, Jimmy Bob Jones here, CIA, was part of the setup for the massacre that was going to receive worldwide coverage. Jim Jones planned and prepared, under instructions from Rome and CIA, to sacrifice his flock, and that to fulfill his Jesuit oath. Right now, look up and put up on your screen or after the broadcast, whenever you want, the Jesuit oath. The oath of the Knights of Columbus. Oath of the Knights of Malta. And then with these organizations, you start placing names and you know where they stand. So when this thing was over, the whole world was in shock. So they implied that this Jim Jones was a crazy, Bible-believing fundamentalist. And you notice up in Norway, remember that massacre? Of course, that massacre up in Norway, a little bit different than Sandy Hook and all the others. You know what's different about that one in Norway? You had actual bodies there. Yeah, you could see them from helicopters, and they weren't acting. They were real bodies. Sandy Hook, I don't know. Other places they call massacres America. What's going on here? The marathon up there in New York? Something's wrong here, Boston. Something's kind of wrong here with all this play acting going on. I imagine these areas, Ed Sheeran, the Go Brick, Go Bug, Go Whatever, would be able to say they're all actors or something. So as a result of this dialectic, a real one, where 900 plus people died, those that tried to run away were massacred by CIA operatives there to make sure nobody escaped. All fundamental churches then fell under suspicion. You got the Terry Jones boys, you see. Terry Jones, Westboro Baptist Church, all these guys, all connected under the Christian identity. And P2, high-level security, high-level agencies in Germany, Mossad, are all connected. Well, because it's dialectic, all churches fell under this suspicion. So then, the cry went up that politicians should pass laws that forbid groups from setting up retreats. You see what they did? To make sure nobody left. Nobody could set up any retreats, or they make sure that somehow or another Bible studies at homes are controlled, schools are controlled by using the dialectic. No one will ask in schools today, they say, Mommy, why are the police officers there at my school today? Nobody asks that. Because why? Because they're there to protect you, son, daughter. When really that's not the case. It's to protect the school from the parent that wants to pull those kids out when they start the mandatory flu vaccines. Or they're teaching garbage that they've been teaching all our lives on the education under Humanist Manifesto. That's a fact, family, a total fact. Going back to 1908, that's something I've talked about in this broadcast many times. The school system is totally controlled by Freemasonry to make sure in public school and colleges and universities, every single one, bar none, especially the schools of theology, are taught the Humanist Manifesto behind the scenes. A teacher gets out of line, they are fired immediately. Or warned. It says jobs are so kind of hard to come by. Yeah, they stay quiet. That's the way it really works. That's the state of affairs today. So this way, your real Bible believers would have no place to hide when the great wave of persecution from Rome really begins. Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. But let me tell you, before I continue to talk about today, what I got to talk about, listen carefully. They lost already. FEMA camps, Agenda 21, you have people today that has money, a lot of money. So we got a flight. You're going to love this. This is true, too. For their place on a spaceship to be the first colony to go to Venus. Hook, line, and sinker, they took it. Or Mars, or wherever. Doesn't make any difference. Family, listen. A 9-year-old in basic school that learns today astronomy or physics or anything in science about the atmosphere, about the universe, will tell you that anything outside the Van Allen belt is going to get cooked like a goose in a microwave. Now, don't go throw your pet mouse in your microwave to find out, because trust me, you go past the Van Allen belt, he's going to cook. And they're not going to give you any radiation wear. It's all a farce. To give people that hope, they got things on TV and called the Dome and the Venus Project or some nonsense to give people false hope of leaving this planet, just to placate them. That was the purpose of NASA in the first place, was to give people the notion that extraterrestrial travel was proper, was possible, and that UFOs and aliens existed. That was the purpose of NASA in the first place, to bring in the extraterrestrial threat, which was planned in 1966, and actually it goes back to 1917. Of the lie about aliens in space, there's none. There are demons. There are fallen angels, sons of God of the Old Testament, and they're heading to hell. But they're coming to us under the guise of aliens, ascended masters, masters of wisdom, and so forth. And you will see them. They are going to appear in what's called disclosure. This one named Stephen Greer, he's just one of them, is leading the way for this big old hoax that's going to fool the world. In the biblical arena, they call it the falling away. And the false Christ, the liar, will be one by the name of Sananda Emmanuel, who's also referring to himself as Yeshua, Jeshua, Yahweh, Maitreya, are the two, the false prophet and the Antichrist. It's not Obama. I'm going to get to that today. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast before I get kicking here, because it's almost like the starting gate's already opened. I got a lot to talk to y'all about. Jim Jones is only one of many. And he was a Jesuit. That should give you something to think about. Lord, we thank you today for being able to come together. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray, Father. Lord, we pray today for the wisdom and discernment you can give us. Lord, to cover us with the blood of Jesus, with your Holy Spirit, to guide us along in this broadcast. And Father, tonight for Bible study, and Father, for the rest of the week, we pray that you guide us along, give us that protection. And Father, touch all those listening, that Father, they'll have inspiration, that Father, they'll share what they've learned, they'll share what they know. And Lord, that you'll give us confirmation, heart, through the Spirit, that Father, that we're on the right track, that Lord, you forgive us of our sins, answer our prayers through this forgiveness. But Father, lead us with courage. Lead us, give us that courage that, Lord, that when we falter, to give us divine appointments, that Father, we can stand back up and give us that opportunity. That Father, through these trials and tribulations, you'll lead us through it, because we know that you've promised it. And Lord, we know sometimes it can get hard. But Father, we thank you for the love, the patience, and Father, most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sins, that we might be forgiven and have eternal fellowship with you through your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray for returning veterans. Lord, I've been so deceived that, Lord, we need whistleblowers to come out to explore, to explain, to reveal the purpose of the psychotropic drugs, where the actual voices in the skull are coming from, the voices they hear, to explain it, Father, somehow to whistleblowers to come out to tell them about the technology, tell them about the attack coming from not only from the government, but also from the Illuminati, the Jesuits, and all these other secret societies upon the world. And specifically, Lord, about our country is the last one to stand. That, Lord, you reveal these truths about the population control and reveal the truth about the voice to skull and the effects of the drugs that they're taking. And use your Holy Spirit to render it null and void and set up divine appointments, Lord, that their thoughts of suicide will not be there, that they'll be led away from their thoughts of suicide. We pray, Father, too, as we get closer to the end of April, March to April, that, Lord, that you'll help those children that are conducted for the sacrifices of the highest level, that, Lord, you'll find a way for them to escape, that, Father, you'll take away the sacrifices of the Wicca, take away the sacrifices of the Luciferian and the Illuminati, and, Lord, to take away the sacrifices that the high-level Masons are going to be performing. And, Lord, to give the courage and bring out of these lodges, Lord, whistleblowers from the Freemasonry to help the other Freemasons get away from the clutches of their blood oath that they've taken. That, Lord, to put them back in line with their families, that no secrets are in God's kingdom. Father, we pray for family members that have been hit with these vaccines and hit with the chemtrails, hit with the diseases caused by the Illuminati. And Lord, to bring back their minds, to render their bodies healed, and use that healing, Lord, in your glory. Father, in all these things we are praying, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, I had a couple of epiphanies that I'm not sure this is going to pan out, but I'm going to go ahead and kick off here. And make sure y'all go to TalkStream Live. I mentioned before, and click on my mug there, and they'll bring you right back to the TalkStreamLive.com, and click on my mug, and it'll bring you back to the website. Also, I want to remind you all that we are played randomly. We're played randomly at highpointradio.net, highpointradio.net, and John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, up in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York. He's putting an antenna up, or a station up, every month. He's growing by leaps and bounds, and he's focused on that, and he plays our broadcasts and Bible studies randomly. And also, we're played out in Colorado by KBLU Radio, also plays us out. Blue Raven Network. And reminds you all, on Monday nights, 8 to 10 every Monday, in addition to my regular broadcasting, 4 to 6, Monday through Friday, every Monday I have a live broadcast on RevelationRadioNetwork.com. And from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go to my website, watchmanforjesus.com. I have a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. And there you go. And so the title tells you what my frame of thinking is. It's not watchman for Yeshua. It's not watchman for Yahweh. But it might be watchman for Jehovah, yeah. Might be watchman for Jesus, yeah. But not these other fake names of the real Jesus. I'm going to be pulled into sacred name movement, Hebrew roots movement, Christian identity, or any of the others. Matter of fact, if you go on my website, on the archives broadcast on Revelation Radio for this past Monday, I talk specifically in detail about the Christian identity movement, Hebrew roots movement, sacred name movement, to open it up. And it's mainly for the ones in the sacred name movement, and mainly for the ones in the Christian identity, for them to understand what they're dealing with as being members. And the same thing for Freemasons. I talk about them so they'll hear it, I hope someday, and get out of there. You have people with good hearts that's in the Blue Lodge or whatever, Easter Stars that are members, but they're pulled in to a Luciferian agenda, and they don't realize it. And the way they hide it, for example, in Eastern Stars, is they have the satanic Baphomet with all kinds of color-coded sayings and mottos, but that hides it. It's like taking an old, moldy, nasty cake that's got worms in it, and you got friends coming over, and you say, oh, I don't have enough time to make a cake. So what you do is you go to Winn-Dixie or wherever you go. They still exist. Anyway, and you get you some icing. And you put icing on the old cake and just hope nobody puts a knife in it. And you try your best to tell people, no, well, the cake is, we'll eat it later. And you keep saying, we'll eat it later. Eat it later. You don't want anybody to really cut into the cake and find out that's been, that maybe might even break the knife off. You don't know. But looks good sitting there. So everybody thinks you made it for them. That's the kind of hyperbole that you got today. And these organizations, Christian identity, the whole nine yards. As long as people don't cut into the icing, even eat the icing on top. Till somebody says, wait a minute, what's this? And starts digging deeper and find out there's worms in there. Oh, gross. But that's exactly what it is, because that is the state of affairs today. Oh, gross. But you see, Jesus Christ is going to fix that. No religion. They're talking about in some of these religious magazines, one concept or other proves Christianity. Some other concept proves Christianity. No, it don't. It's not about Christianity. Forget Christianity. What about Jesus? Not Christianity. I'm going to talk about that. I hope you all writing this down so I don't get too ambitious. But actually, that's what my epiphany has to do with, now that I think about it. It's not about Christianity. Christianity is not about Jesus Christ. How about that? That got your attention, didn't it? Christianity is a religion. People worship the religion, not the man. You see, because you got to ask yourself, where'd Christianity come from in the first place? Yeah, now you're going to get somewhere. Being a Christian before 325 A.D., they didn't have Christianity. They didn't have Islam either, because Islam was created by the Vatican in the 6th or 7th century. Yes, it was. Yep, kind of looks like I'm heading that way. This is sweeping what I'm talking to y'all about. This is major. Has everything to do with every event going on today. You name it, it's got everything to do with what I'm talking about right now. I was doing some research on the Jesuits. Now, aside from that, put that on the side. That's a sauce. Okay, I've explained this before in the New Age movement, the setup of Satan and the fallen angels has divided this land, this world we live in, since Nimrod, into education, philosophy, religion, science, alchemy, The arts, distraction. Politics, control. Finance, control. Religion, I said before, control. Philosophy, deception. Education, to train liars. Now, they control all seven areas. And they have since Nimrod. So as technology increased, and certainly exponentially in the 17th century. So he added to the control and added to the sections of each one of these seven areas. So in other words, there's seven fallen angels of a general ranking structure in control of education, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, politics, and finance. Now those seven areas are what's called in the New Age arena, New Age movement, as ASHRAM, Ashram, Rays. And underneath each one are six fallen angels, like a colonel or a major level, structure, ranking. Makes 49. 49, the 66 fallen, controls these seven areas. You got it? And they got names, too. They have names. So how they control? By influencing mankind through overshadowing in three different areas. By infusing thoughts into the mind, number one, of the avatar, or the significant person in history, and he thought he was his thoughts and his mind, his songs, his Mozart, his Leonardo da Vinci. Ah, you got it? Or they are in the occult, and they do seances, they do meditation, like, remember, most of our presidents have done, and their wives in the occult. Oh, yeah. Horoscopes. Seances. Got their own crystal ball readers, don't they? Especially Mary Todd and Bushes. Yeah, now you see. And so they get knowledge and wisdom from outside. And number three, by actually being infused with a demon inside them. And family, that's exactly what's done after or before every inauguration of every one of our presidents, after he does the old Bible-swearing thing, then they take him down, or I've already taken him, to the 16th Street, Scottish Rite Lodge, and there they have another ceremony where they perform, and they are infused by a demonic entity. I know that sounds crazy, but it's actually what happens. And that's why after they're done with the presidency, do you not notice that within a year, they're already aged 20 years? Their life force has been used up. That's why they age so quickly. What I've told you not now is the truth. Satan controls mankind in this way. They say Obama is this, Obama is that. No, Obama has no control like no president has ever had control. The Vatican controls them. And then the fallen angels control the Vatican and the Illuminati. So the president of the United States is low level, man. He is low level. And those under the president, Holder and Bernanke, all these, every one of them, your Jerry Boykins and Rick Jordan, all of them, are nothing but throwaways for the Illuminati. Anytime they want to throw them away, they're nothing. But they're something as long as they continue with a blood oath of the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, and do what they're supposed to do until such time, in fact, they've identified to be executed. They will kill them. It's going to happen. But they're led astray by all the rewards, promises of ascending to the next level of mankind's evolution and blah, blah, blah. It's never going to happen. They will not ever let it happen that way. Using transhumanism, combining the binary DNA code, man and machine, that is going to be the creation or manipulation of creation that Satan will use at the Armageddon. Right now is total deception of a fake World War III, Obama Antichrist, the false prophet is Francis. You got to be kidding me. They don't stand up to the actual category or the mentality of the real Antichrist and the real false prophet. These two are flunkies. Not even close. It's all a facade to keep the real ones in defilade until such time they're ready to come out in the open of the public view. Now, I could spend some time here. I've taught martial arts for 30 years and survival techniques and all this stuff. I was a military for a long time, and I'm into that stuff myself and all this and all that before. But family, when this goes down, when they have finally total control, listen now, and the worthlessness of all governments have been revealed, they're the ones revealing the worthlessness of government. People actually think that the Illuminati is on the run. You got to be kidding me, man. You can't be that gullible, please. They control both sides using a dialectic. For goodness sakes alive, these talk shows. Family, Illuminati is not on the run. They use a dialectic. They are, but I will tell you, they are revealing their evil side now. So you'll see them as evil. That's part of a controlled opposition. To now reveal their evil that they've created themselves. And guess what? They are the good guys also. It's called the dialectic. Now that told me there that we are close because they're revealing their evil that they've kept secret for generations upon generations and generations. It's been kept secret. And you think all of a sudden it comes out for nothing? Come on now. You can't be that naive. Please. But the people in these other places, they got to catch up, man, because the Illuminati is fooling a lot of people. And by revealing their negative and their evil, showing you what they think is good, they're controlling the good side also. That's how it works. The only real conflict you got, really, is the Illuminati on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, our side over here, the CFR, Council of Foreign Relations, our so-called Illuminati here, wanting to be the big dog against the Roman Catholic Church and the Vatican that controls our presidency on the other side. So you got a split between the military and alleged patriots over here and the President of the United States, which is the United States Corporation, connected to the Vatican over there. And you got a split there. That was proven in the military coup that was planned by Nixon and General Cushman of the Marine Corps. And also proved by the split between Major General Butler and the those that approached him to lead a revolt against FDR. Dang, it's nothing but a history repeating itself. Oh, that's all documented, man. It's not a matter of theory at all. I'd say 95%, 98% at least, Americans don't have a clue what we're talking about right now. And when you start talking about this right now, it's like you have to identify every word you speak because this conspiracy has its own lingo. And every concept has its own rabbit trail. But what does it really boil down to? It actually does go back to the Garden of Eden, literally. A supernatural way. Now, before I go there, I'm an old Southern country boy, you know. I'm not a theologian or a scientist, but I do an extreme amount of research. Extreme. And I dig as deep as I possibly can with no allegiance to anything other than Jesus and nobody except for Jesus. Other than that, my allegiance stays there. That's it. This is non-negotiable as far as I'm concerned. I look for the true state of affairs. I look for the true state of where we are because that's my intense interest for the past 5 years. And I've been involved in it when I was in Saudi Arabia, Kosovo, the Congo, under government contracts. I've seen it in operation. I've been in the middle of it. So it's not like I've been sitting here in Mount Airy, North Carolina, peeling turnips off the truck. I've been throughout the world to the point now I don't even see where to go on vacation because I've been everywhere, and everywhere I've been is all the same. That's what I found out. I've been to Italy and France and Germany and Bahrain and Saudi Arabia and Kosovo and three places, austere conditions. Two of them were threats, which I dearly enjoyed. Yeah. I've been all over. Oops, I've been in the Norwegian area and been to Alaska. Yeah, I've been to Alaska, too. Haven't been to the South Pole. I don't really care to go there. Haven't been to China nor Russia. Been to Korea. Been to Okinawa, Japan. And you know what I found in those days when I was going to these places for various reasons? They all got bars. I found they all have restaurants. They've all got crown jewels. They have museums. They've got old buildings. They've got new buildings. They've got shopping areas. They got statues. They got more bars. Everybody's got something, but they're all the same. And when they get to places of people or speak different languages, but we're all the same. Different skin color, but that don't make any difference. You see, I said, well, you know, what's there to see? So it's got to be inside. It's got to be here in the heart. It's where your rest comes. I'm going to climb Mount Everest one day. Okay, that day comes. You climb it. Okay, you stand up. I made it. Yeah, and you go back down. Now what? Now what? It's over. You got your pictures? Yeah, I got my pictures. Okay. Did you put something up there to let people know you're up there? So in 10 years, you're going to brag about it? What are you going to do? Is there some kind of hall of honor for mountain climbers or something? I don't know. You going to talk about it when you're 80 years old? Well, sonny, you know, when I was 21 years old, I climbed Mount Everest. Oh, you did you? Yeah, I did. Well, they're going to halfway believe it and halfway not. So you got to convince them. Where's your legacy at? What'd you leave? Okay. It's all temporary. We fulfill it in all kinds of different ways of that emptiness that you have that can be filled by Jesus Christ. No more to roam because He is your home. But people don't realize that till sometimes it's too late. Sometimes they wait when they start getting that time to die. They start thinking about eternity. You got even, oh yeah. You got the bucket list. Oh, that bucket list, man. When you start looking at the bucket list, when, about 40 years old? I don't know. You got to fill that bucket list up. Go skydiving, go hang paragliding, something or other. Go scuba diving. Depends on what you're into. You know, that bucket list thing, it could get a little bit sticky. But, you know, you got, I'm going to go visit the seven wonders of the world. But I got two of them already, you could say, and I got four more to go. Great. You know, it keeps you all busy. that's going to be within a 70, 80, 90 year period, give or take. What after then? Because you're not going to die. Your body will die, but your soul is going to heaven or it's going to hell. It's not a matter of belief. My belief won't stop me. God, look, I know I've been a bad person, you know, and all this, but I just don't believe in hell. So that means you're not going to send me there, right? Yeah, you are. No, wait. I don't believe in hell. It doesn't matter. Wait a minute. This was not what I was told in the churches. They didn't tell me this. Is that what you're going to say to God? What are you going to say? Because once you die, it's done. If you're not on in the book of life, man, you're heading to hell. And these preachers, rabbis, priests are not telling the truth. So you're 70, 80 years, and sometimes untimely death because that paragliding thing you were doing didn't work out so well. Or jumping off that big old 200-foot line, and you did that swinging thing, and you ran dab into that face of that cliff. It didn't turn out so well. You see, you don't know when that's going to happen or that line breaks because there's no going back. If you got a parachute on, it might help you a little bit, but then you got another chance, you see, assuming you packed it right. But you see, you got to think about these things because eternity sure is a longer way than 70, 80 years old, and certainly longer than untimely death. Because you are going to die, but then you're going to find yourself in another dimensional capacity, and you're no longer in control. Because at that point, the reality is the supernatural. Put it like this. When you die, your body no longer can contain the energy that's your soul and spirit. It then comes out. And God will decide where it goes immediately. If you're not written a book of life, it goes to torment. Because there's no other place. If there's another place, then Jesus Christ would never have had to died and suffered. You see what I mean? That's very, very significant. God hates sin so bad you can't imagine. And of course, that's not saying much because we can't imagine. Our minds, our souls do not have dimensional capacity to understand God's full measure. It's impossible. Even Satan, the fallen angels, the angels don't understand the full capacity of God. It's impossible. We don't have dimensional capacity. Oh, but I'm a summa cum laude. 4.0, I am. Yeah. So what? That's made up by the Illuminati anyway. Big deal. It's got nothing. It's made up by men who still don't have the dimensional capacity. Matter of fact, Cecil Rhodes was Illuminati. Rhodes Scholarship. Nobel, you got it, was Illuminati. You know what they call Satan in Hollywood? Look up Hollywood. Look up the stars. They have to sign their name in blood, literally, before they get a contract. And they are, as they have confirmed with their own mouth, and I had a program on this last week, that they, all of them, are indwelled by demonic spirit that gives them the ability to sing, dance, and act. They admit it. Now, you can call them liars if you want to, but they admit it themselves that a demon becomes a part of them. Another spirit, they call it, becomes a part of them to give them that ability they have to become Academy Award winners, to become great singers and dancers. And you know something else? Those that find out about this in their first hit song or sign a contract and they have their own human skill, and they realize they have to sign a contract to Satan in blood, they say, oh, we can't do that. No. Notice they don't last long. That's where you get your one-hit wonders. That's correct. Or they die in a plane crash, overdose of drugs, because they cannot have them become whistleblowers. And this includes the political realm, too. Well, one point before I move into the next segment I want to talk about. Let's go back to the Ashram Rays. I told you about education, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, politics, and finance. I found out in my study of Jesuits recently, it just dawned on me when I was reading where they placed Jesuits. Guess where they put Jesuits? Education, philosophy, religion, science, Jesuits. That's right. Arts. Politics and finance. They put Jesuits in all the seven areas. How about that, huh? Now, if you've already, while I'm talking, have looked up the Jesuit oath, and read just parts of it even, you'll see how horrific, how evil it really is. And that plays the exact same identification tag to all the Knights of Malta and all the Knights of Columbus that take the same, almost the same oath. So when you have a Knights of Malta member that's playing like he's some kind of patriot, that's a lie. He's a traitor and a liar. And he's like an FBI or cop undercover in a drug agency wearing a sign, "Oh, I am FBI, but I'm still on your side." It might as well wear. He's saying, "I'm a Knights of Malta, but we're going to overturn the American government," which is what Joyner says, that he's praying that Jesus goes against. You got to be kidding me. And what's his face? Jerry Boykin going to Oregon. Family, these are Knights of Malta. It's like an undercover agent in a drug cartel saying to him, "I'm undercover FBI. Can I come in?" Same thing. Because they're counting on you not knowing what a Knights of Malta is. I'm telling you what they are, and you can find out yourself. So you militia, I've told y'all, you're infiltrated. And you've got your own returning veterans that's got those darn microchips in their body. And you've got 22 suicides per day plus per day. Suicides per day. Family, 22. Veterans are going to die today and tomorrow. And these Joint Chiefs of Staff are sitting on their hands and going to Council of Foreign Relations to lie to the American people. I don't know what happened to them from, you know, their major or captain to general, but they must have a lobotomy or something when they become a lieutenant colonel. I don't know. But they get stupid on you and become a Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. They get their ego punched up. They get a favorite parking place. And they get the brief on the high level, but they're going to hell. Literally, because they've taken the blood oath against God and going to a Roman Catholic church, a Baptist church, Presbyterian, and doing good deeds will do nothing but sink them deeper in hell. Now, this is what's going on. And they're taking their families with them. But their families, their wife or children become born again. Death will separate them. They will never see them again. Because God will have them in the book of life, but he won't. But they're cursing their families and destroying their children by being a member of these organizations. Whew, that's not going to make me a lot of friends. But I got to tell you, that's what's going on. You got to know this. Family, this is a state of affairs going on today. And somebody's going to say, "Well, you haven't said a word about Islam." Yeah, darn right I haven't, because they're victims too. Muslim Brotherhood was created by the Vatican. Zionist movement was created by the Vatican. Look it up on your own. Look this up on your own. And you'll find it to be true. Family, Jesus Christ literally is the only answer. In the news, people told me sometimes I'm too intense. I don't think so, but oh well. In Matthew 24, 11 to 12, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." God's been putting stuff right all morning long, and it does seem like it's just kind of coming together. Matthew 7, 22 to 23. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then I will profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" That's when I first started reading this verse. It's a little confusing. I'll let it go. To think about it. And one day it came to me. They've cast out devils. They've done many wonderful works. They've given prophecy in his name. Now, being that he cast them out at the great white throne judgment, that means they're unsaved. They're wondering, what are we doing here for? So I'm thinking, well, where'd they get that ability? God didn't give it to them. He wouldn't have given them that ability knowing ahead of time that they were going to go against him. He wouldn't have glorified them, you might say, given them recognition with these gifts if he knew already, which he knows the end from the beginning. He wouldn't have given that ability. So that begs the question, where did they get that ability? From Satan. Satan can fulfill the crystal ball, the horoscope, the Ouija board, the prophecies of fake, of remote writing, remote viewing. So-called churches out there like Hagee and Hagen and Copeland and Joyce Myers and Benny Hinn, all these fake, absolutely fake. Rick Warren, the Kundalini spirit. I said, oh, yeah. Alberto Rivera confirms that when you have a priest that's done exorcisms of demons out of people, Alberto Rivera, who was murdered by the Jesuits, he was a Jesuit himself, he admits and has given a testimony at one time when he's alive, before he's murdered, of course, of what he did for the Jesuits. He also said in his testimony that for the it works the same way for witch doctors, medicine men, rainmakers, dowsers, etc. Edgar Casey type prophets, etc. Gene Dixon prophecies and so forth. Nickelodeon, Nicodemus, Nostradamus. Hey, you got it, dude. I finally got to it. Some Nostra, something another. Are all prophets of Satan. See, Satan has a plan. And he is in control. And he's in touch with all the demonic entities like in a cloud of intelligence, if you will. They're all connected like a circuit board. Okay, there you go. I haven't used that before. And so, that's how he keeps in control of those that's on his side. So, here you have severe demonic possession. And this is from Alberto Rivera. I'm not making this up. And so much that the family calls for the priest. Priest comes to give deliverance. Well, here's the bottom line. There's a cooperation between the demonic entity and the priest, the witch doctor, the medicine man, or rainmaker, or whatever. Because the demon is causing that malady, that condition, to give power to the voodoo witch doctor, to the rainmaker, to the exorcist that's a priest or whatever, or the remote viewer. When they want to give credence to the one exercising them or healing, that demon will leave that body, thus thereby healing the person. Now, tonight I'll be talking about this. But it's physics. It's biology. It's chemistry. It's alchemy. It's real. And so when the priest, the voodoo witch doctor, the medicine man, whatever, does his ritual, the demon will leave that body, thereby healing that person, giving credence to that religion, that or whatever the leader of it is. Wow, you healed them. You got to have power. That's how it works. And you notice in the Nostradamus predictions and other sides, Edward Casey, they come close sometimes. Because Satan knows what his plan is, but he don't know every detail. He doesn't know when he can do what he wants to do. That's why they miss dates, times, places, things. Because Satan doesn't know when God's going to allow him to. And you four-star generals up there at the highest level, That's why you can't make deadlines. Because you're not in control. There are 14 years past the deadline of 1999, the year 2000. We're supposed to be in a world government then. That's another story. I'm not going to touch that right now. That's another 30 minutes of talking. Oh, yeah. World War III, pretend, was supposed to be in 1999. And the year 2000 was to begin the 7 years. It didn't happen, did it? No. Because the people weren't ready was the excuse given. But the real reason was God didn't let it happen because you pray. Those of you out there are in prayer groups, not prayer chains, prayer groups. You still worship God through Jesus individually, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham prayed, Lord, if I can find 50 men, will you spare? And he said, you find me 50, go. Find me 40, no. 30, no. How about 10? No. How about one? No. Okay. He sent two angels down. And they said, get out of here. And no longer they got out of there, hell rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah because they couldn't find one righteous. The flood found 8 out of 20 million. Water took care of that. Y'all got the point? By increasing the number of states to homosexual marriage, having the states take down the Ten Commandments, they know what they're doing. As soon as they start reducing this, making laws of the land reflect the Luciferian agenda, God gets further and further away from that country or culture. That's what happened to Israel. It's going to happen to us. And they are succeeding because the Freemasons, the Knights of Malta, all these others are getting ahead of the voting, subjugating the voters or congressmen or representatives or mayors or governors to make sure they walk the line that they're told to do, or they die, or a family member dies, or they're vilified. So they can pass that law and the town council. This is how it works in reality. That's the state of affairs. The reality of it is that. That's why your small towns are corrupt. Did you know that Kerr Drugs is closing down now for Walgreens to take over? Now, nobody's going to tie that together with anything. Walgreens is one of the major corporations going to take over all the drug companies. You got it? Little by little, chipping away at control. Nobody will notice a darn thing. Kerr Drugs right now on the 75% sale, and they're going to turn over to Walgreens. Till we're right down to Walmart. It controls everything. That's how they do it. And the Vatican will control all religions. Getting right down to it. One government, one religion, one leader. Little by little. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That's why God divided the cultures and the people. Physically different, skin color different, but not the soul. But because the Tower of Babel, men were together in one culture. Didn't have Chinese, didn't have white, didn't have black. You had bronze-colored folks running around because they were part of the ark when it came off. Japheth went north, Ham went south, Shem stayed middle, east, middle. Mm-hmm. And you notice the DNA changes as a position on the earth of where they lived. Languages also affect DNA. You got the idea? Let that work out around your head a little bit like chewing gum. The cultures didn't form to about 10 generations after Nimrod. Now, Satan's trying to bring back the cultures together after he caused wars against all of us. We're tired of war. Aren't you tired of war? Yeah, we're tired of war and fighting and all this. Let's all come together. Uh-huh. Under him, not Jesus. Now, I got bunch of folks that's here today, so I'll give you an explanation. You regular listeners, you've heard this before, so bear with me, please. But I will read to you part of their agenda, so you'll know what I'm talking about. Red Fog Over America, William G. Carr, 1955, talks about what their long-range plans going back to the early 1900s. It actually goes back to 1425. Here's what their plan is for the North American continent. Quote, after the nations have been merged into an international state, the directors intend to crown the head of the Illuminati, King Despot of the Universe. That's the Antichrist, by the way. Continuing, the agentur of the Illuminati will next proceed to eradicate racial characteristics by mixing the black, red, yellow, and white races. This experiment has already been carried out on a large scale. Dr. Brock Chisholm has advocated on the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation that by mixing, quote, by mixing the races, all racial problems would disappear, unquote. You know what year that began? That began the year 1492. Yep, Columbus was an avatar, and Columbus was in the blue line, blue bloodline of Spain, the Roman Catholic. But besides that, the first infusion of cultures to come together was the whites going into America to infuse and destroy the Indians and the Mexicans. And then the third was 1712. It was called slavery, funded by the Rockefellers. Willie Lynch, 1712, explained to the white folk how to make a great slave. So the infusion of that culture, the black culture into the white culture and Indian culture began 1712. And then overcomes this thing called Statue of Liberty. Come one, come all. To continue the development of the New Atlantis as planned by Sir Francis Bacon in the 16th century. Plans are going right along it's supposed to. The Fabian Society identifying cultures to destroy. Matter of fact, I have evidence. I'm not going to read you the whole quote. Got to move on. But I'll read you part of the quote by not such a well-known globalist and murderer like Churchill. That's a fact. With another one. A cousin, actually, of Churchill. A lower-level cousin of Churchill that helped foment this immigration of aliens into the North American continent to get this combination of cultures. His name was FDR. And on March 4th, 1939, behind closed doors session, in front of three congressional committees, a witness was Senator Lundeen that copied down the quote. But I'm not going to read you the whole quote. But on March 4th, 1939, part of the quote says, to hell with the American people as far as the democracy is concerned. It does not exist, it never did, and we will never let it happen that way. Okay, here we go. I'm going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible. In the last analysis, declare martial law, confiscate the thing I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. Unquote. That's the real FDR. That actually 100% parrots off the attitude, direction, agenda of every president in our history, except for Andrew Jackson, Lincoln, JFK, and McKinley. And those four have something in common. Three were assassinated, and one had three attempts on his life. That's the true state of affairs. They lose. It's a supernatural war that we're in. So now they want to bring those minds back together under one rule. order out of chaos. They present the chaos, helps bring the order. That's how it works. 2 Peter 2, 9 to 10. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment, to be punished. That's what the Bible says. I'm just reading it to you. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Now, to get rid of government, there's remedies, but they haven't told you what the remedies are. They've told you the only one. That's revolution. So the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, and all the others, make sure you know one way, and when they want to do it, to foment a revolution to start killing, to replace one government with another. It's always been that way. But they set it up that way. They make sure, as it happened in 1776, we never won a Revolutionary War. We lost the Revolutionary War. We lost it. Bad. They just don't tell you that. So they replace one evil government with another, making it look like it's benevolent. That's how they work it. 2 Peter 2, 9 to 10, is here the conclusion is that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly and to punish the ungodly. 2 Chronicles 7:14. He can rescue his people from trial. At the same time, he can reserve the unjust under punishment for that day of judgment that's going to happen to them, no matter whether they're alive or dead. The wicked are reserved for hell, and hell for the wicked, verse 17 it talks about. And by way of contrasting this particular concept, there is sort of an inheritance reserved for believers, and they're kept for the inheritance. See, God's ability to keep the wicked folks under constraints until their final trial is very true with the class of people described in the chapter of 2 Peter. You should read that. It's quite interesting. Apparently the hierarchy doesn't. Certainly the churches don't. And the four-star generals don't have a clue. False teachers whose lives are actually contaminated by sexual uncleanness, and that's coming frequently, the military level, legislators and so forth, they advocate rebellion against government authority. Without government, you have anarchy. Well, they're saying, well, we have a corrupt government. We need to overturn it. Okay. With what? Okay, fine, let's overturn it. But what you got to offer, overturn it with? A more corrupt government? Where's God in all this? Who's praying to God to have it moved over? Who's having faith in God to change it out? Nobody. God's the only one that can do it. It's never worked in our history, except they're right now advocating to rebellious violence. It's the only offer they got. They did it in 1776, 1865, 1860, and again today. Nothing's different. You know, it's no secret that false religions, those leaders are posing as ministers of Christ, are characterized by lower moral standards. They indulge in illicit sexual activities, stealing money, false scriptures, false Bibles, except for the King James. They openly advocate libertinism, just like Chuck Baldwin or whatever, Kokesh, Baldwin, Boykin, revolution. They have no alternative. Ron Paul, he's a Rosicrucian. He's a secret society member. Goodness gracious. You know, there was an Episcopalian chaplain of a girls' school in Baltimore, Maryland, And he wrote, I quote, "You know, we all ought to relax and stop feeling guilty about our sexual activities and thoughts and desires. And I mean this, whether these thoughts are heterosexual, homosexual, or autosexual, sex is fun. And this means that there are no laws attached which you ought to do or not to do. There are no rules of the game, so to speak," unquote. It's also significant to note that the liberal religious leaders are commonly in the forefront of movements, aren't they? Your Mannings, your Baldwins, others, Anderson, revolution, hate, and warmongering. They should be leading people to Jesus. They got no business talking about political issues. Or nor to have a red cross on their, a nice Templar sign on their pulpit. That's a Illuminati. For goodness sakes alive. What's going on here? Preachers don't have any business talking about politics. None. If they're going to talk politics, they need to renounce their chaplainship, preachership, and become politicians. Don't get on the pulpit ever again. If that's what they're going to do, can't do both. I see where God's leading me today. You know, it's significant that liberal, these leaders are, as I said, in the forefront of political movements, advocate the violent overthrow of the government. Well, they're smoking or using too much helium in the balloons they're breathing. Modernistic type ministers have been affiliated with subversive political causes. Christian Identity come to mind. KKK and Baptist churches come to mind. Uh-oh. Boy, I stepped on some toes in there. You know, a director of a church and community affairs for the Presbyterian in Philadelphia said, quote, "I don't think we preclude this, the use of bombs and jet grenades in the church, in the future if all nonviolent means prove ineffectual," unquote. Their bold and willful, brazen repudiation of duly constituted authority seems to have no limits to them. No language is too extreme for them. Lindsey Williams and Terry Jones, need I say more? I will anyway. You know the fact that human governments are ordained by God? Romans 13, verse 1. It's forbidden to speak evil of them. Acts 23, verse 5. It doesn't influence such men in the least. They actually delight in shocking people by their belligerent denunciation of dignitaries. But here's the other side of it. When the government calls you to sin, that's when you refuse to do it. When the government calls you to go against God, that's when you put your foot down and say, "Well, no, I'm not going to do it." That don't mean you go into your house and pull out your AK-47 or your 30mm or whatever and just go out and kill them. You're going to die. But what it means is you don't let them put on that mark on your hand. You don't go against God in any way. They go, the government then has no authority. You say, "Well, nope, I'm not going to do this or do that. This against God, I ain't doing it." Here's the rub. FEMA has trained 20,000 plus clergymen to convince the public once they declare martial law and declare a national emergency. FEMA's trained 20,000 plus clergy to go around to the communities and tell them, Romans 13, do everything the government tells you to do. John MacArthur is one of these. And that's wrong. Because when rendered to Caesar, that which is Caesar, but unto God, that which belongs to God. That's when you refuse to do what the government tells you to do, is when it goes against God. What you've learned in the Ten Commandments, what you've learned to love one another. And some law, some rule they tell you to do that's going to go against it? No. Say, "Nope, I'm not doing it." So watch out for those clergymen that go the other extreme to tell you to do everything the government tells you to do because it's not true. Oh, they've already got them trained. 1 John 2:3-4. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. First John 5:2-3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. 2 John 1:6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as we have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. And beloved, Jude 1:3-4. Beloved, when I give all, Jude 1:3-4, if you're typing it down or whatever. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of God ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only true Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. From they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, and come all kinds of different places. The road to heaven is narrow. Very narrow indeed. And the only name is through Jesus Christ. There is no other name under the sun, as many have said, and they have changed their mind. For example,
tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity?
I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
There is. There definitely is.
No, there's not. Only through Jesus Christ, as I read the scripture, is the only way. Family, they're all coming along to the New Age movement, the emerging church, where there's many different ways of getting to God. And it's getting ugly. And it's all coming around almost at the same time.
The panel has been discussed.
And so, here's another New Age concept that matches it.
The spirituality and the forces of God. But I also believe that there are two forces that are here with us. That we do have our God that we can depend on. But there's also a power of darkness that we do need to be aware of. And that's where the choice is.
Do you believe that you can choose between one or the other?
Most Most absolute definitely.
Yeah. Now Marianne Williamson says in her book, Return to Love, that we're always walking in the direction of one or the other, that all of your actions in life, either toward the darkness or you're moving toward the light.
That's right.
She calls it fear and love. There's this wonderful book called Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which is, anyway, it's a gorilla talking, but anyway. It talks about one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human
how do
being.
You please
and,
God?
And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
pleasing.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be on that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
I even raised him up in the whole discussion, and you say there isn't only one way. Is one way and only one way, and
there
that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be with
because
a million
you
of people
say
in the
there
world.
Isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because you say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
But that makes you right.
Do you think that if you are somewhere on the planet, if you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
And that is covered in the scriptures, too. People
heart,
are talked about
truly.
That.
God knows the heart.
Does God care about your heart or God care about if you call his son Jesus?
Well, you know, Oprah, God, Jesus cannot come back until that gospel is preached in the four corners of this earth. So, you know, figure it out.
Okay, I can't get into a real argument with you.
It's not religious.
Have you heard?
See there? It's all coming around to the New Age thinking. Clergymen, preachers, rabbis, priests, politicians. Secret societies are all coming to one focus. The Vatican bringing all the religions in. They try to get you to believe that Islam is the Antichrist. No, it's not. That the Jews. No, it's not. Make up your mind. Is it the Jews? Is it Muslims? Who is it? The Vatican? Secret societies? Who's the enemy? They can't make up their minds. Doesn't seem like anybody knows. Depends what side of the river you're on. Or in the middle waiting. You see. How come nobody can't figure this out? They say it's the Muslims, evil, Sharia law. And well, okay. Then over here it says, well, it says Jews. They lied about the Holocaust, they say, which they didn't. And it's the Jews running the banks and all this and all that. So the Muslims are running it? The Jews? What's the story here? Then say, well, it's the Jesuits. Okay, now it's the Jesuits. Well, make up your mind. Nobody can. Because they don't know. That's why. Satan controls all of it. So we all go against each other using all the organizations. ADL, NAACP, ACLU. I don't know. Let's make it simple. Every single religion, no exception. Every single organization and movement, no exception, are there to divide us all and get us tired of fighting, tired of the what they're creating, the conflict, and then come together under a malevolent government. That's how it works. Only Jesus will bring us to the right path. It's going to come down to it. You know, I try to stay ahead of it, but man, I tell you. You know, you got articles like why the expats are ditching their U.S. passports. You see, because America's going down because we're stepping away from God. And it's always planned that way. It's planned for us to become the last standing domino. That was planned that way to use us to foment the wars under the guise of fighting for freedom. Is planned that way. In that same quote I gave you about FDR, also contained in that quote, which I didn't read because I get caught up in it in 15 minutes, 20 minutes, but I got a lot to cover today. We're coming. It's already 5:30. Oh, man. But in that same quote, he says, quote, in March 4th, 1939, behind closed doors, the start of it really goes, I'm making no concessions to business of for relief, talking to three congressional committees. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I'm putting my people, the Illuminati, ahead of all instruments, American people. I've had a full understanding with Chamberlain. We will destroy this unemployed condition with a war and a war only. To hell with American people. As far as the democracy is concerned, it does not exist. It never did. And we will never let it happen that way, unquote. That's behind closed doors, never to be revealed to the public. But Senator Lundeen, L-U-N-D-E-E-N, was a member of one of those congressional committees, copied down this quote, and in the 1950s gave it to William G. Carr, and William G. Carr put it in his book, Red Fog Over America, 1955. It's there. I got a copy of it. I've seen it. You know that the Pope here, the papacy, the article says Christians are ordered to teach Wicca, pagan rites. Now, my regular listeners, you know I've been hitting hard this past week and last week, weaving in and out of my broadcasting, the attack on not only the veterans, but the setup sneaking right up on you of the methodology by which you're going to control your children. Now, none of your politicians, Ron Pauls and Rand Paul and Paul Ryan and all the, I don't care, it doesn't matter who it is, none of them are touching it with a 10-foot pole. And that's the international rights of the child, sneaking up on you. It goes back to 1989. Hillary Clinton tried to get it passed through the Senate to be signed. And that way, the UN would control your children. But it was not signed then. They weren't ready. They didn't like it. You won. So they make a statement. They make a issue of it by printing in the papers as much as possible since 1990 until today how the rights of the child are being violated in all kinds of different ways. They knew it was going to take them 20 years to get people to that frame of thinking. That's what they planned. It's coming around again. Well, I got an article the other day. Here we go. Article came out. UN behind plan for overseers for all kids. Homeschool advocates warned law, both anti-family and illegal. Published about one day ago. The Scottish government's decision to appoint an overseer for every child is influenced by the United Nations, contends a director with America's Homeschool Legal Defense Association, the premier organization of its kind in the world. Michael Donnelly says, I quote, this law shows a natural progression for a country that's ratified the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child and attempts to live up to its treaty provisions. Michael Donnelly, Director of International Relations. Families and homeschoolers in Scotland have described the Children and Young People Bill as anti-family and illegal. And the Christian Institute, a Canadian rights organization in the United Kingdom, plans to challenge it in court. Now, Oregon, in a line with Belgium, are set up while you all sleep out there. Laws and methods by which the children, if they're disabled, that's the banner they're using, can commit to killing themselves, euthanasia, if they want to. They're tired of living. The parents won't have anything to say about it. Even if the parents want to take care of them, the parents will not be allowed to. They will allow the child to sign and die. In other words, legalizing suicide. Gavorkian, or whatever his name is, made it look like they're against it. But his being brought to the surface was to teach you about it under the guise of, well, we're against it, as a lie. They used him as a sitting in to establish the criteria for it. That's what he was used for. Belgium's already done it. It's sneaking up on you. Where's your politicians on this one? On either side, they're not talking about it. Are they? Scotland's doing something about it. Because they know it's going to sneak up on them. So when your child says, I just don't want to live anymore, you can't say a word about it. Already, children are committing suicide through the Ouija board on account of it, drugs, Wicca, possession, which I'm going to talk about tonight. And it's all connected. It all goes to a couple sources. That's what I try to do, is connect the dots. And I'm not looking at something that's not there. It's there, you see. Quote Colin Hart, director of the Christian Institute, it is clear this bill breaches European rules through its attack on the family. He said after a parliamentary law was adopted on a 105-0 vote. He says, I quote, ordinary Scots should be very afraid. Well, Scotland's doing something about it. What are we doing? Dancing with the Stars? Sports on TV? Mixed martial arts? Watching beat the dickens out of each other? That's fun. America's Got Talent? Duck Dynasty? You see what's going on? All big. Can't say and didn't tell y'all, as they say. Catholic Church, the Church of Scotland, a number of legal organizations have opposed this idea. The Institute says 8,000 children already have been singled out for targeted intervention by the government. Whoa. Okay. There you go. We got a nanny state going on. And all they need to do is pass it to a couple, have a couple of states or countries pass it. Then it gets put out in the other states and countries. All they got to do is set up a model. Will Estrado, director of federal regulations for HSLDA, believes the idea is an outgrowth of the general belief by organizations such as United Nations that government knows best for everyone. Quote, this is of why HSLDA opposes ratification of UN treaties. Estrada said, quote, the argument that these treaties are mere altruistic expressions melts away when you look at what's happening in legislators of countries who ratify the treaties try to live up to their treaty obligation. A named person for every child in the national database. No thanks. Why do you think you had to get a Social Security number at 16 years old back in the day? Now it's when you're born. This is the reason. Y'all get ready now, because it's coming, man. It's on the way. Now, I'm going to, you know, I guess I should give you all a rest, huh? Because I've been talking about a lot of things today. I'm going to let y'all get a little bit of rest here for about 2 minutes, and we'll come back.
On the
Got a question. Why do we follow man? Why do you follow Billy Graham? Why do you follow Robert Shuler? Why do you follow Osteen? Why do you follow Oprah? Why follow any human being at all? Not one. Not even one. No religion. Nothing. What's wrong with following Jesus Christ? Why don't people stand up for him, and why stand up for these preachers that's going off this wrong side? I don't understand it. And they follow, they fight for the Christian identity. They fight for, I'm a Roman Catholic, I can't, why? I fight for Judaism. They're stuck on this thing like glue. Or Baptist, or Presbyterian, or USA, Republic, patriotism, blah, 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 blah. And the same thing with China, and same thing with Russia, and same thing with whatever. Man, they're all wrong. It's about Jesus, man. He's coming back. He's coming back with a sword and a white horse. After 7 years of tribulation, yeah. Not going to escape judgment. Ain't going to happen. Fallen angels are going to try to pretend. Call it great delusion. You see? Well, I don't know. Tonight, I'm going to talk about a whole bunch of things. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the supernatural. Oh, yeah. It's supernatural. Yeah. Well, anyway. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit and why prayers aren't answered and how the demons actually operate. You got to know your enemy. And this is the supernatural. It's not natural at all. No pun intended. Family, you don't think it's not creeping up on us? One day ago, well, let's see, what date is it really? Oh, man, I tell you, sometimes, this is one example of many. First, you had a woman in New Zealand that was nursing a calf. Naturally, you understand what I mean. And now, we got a woman in the UK named Amanda Rogers, wearing black, of course, falling in love with her pooch. In other words, woman marries dog in romantic wedding ceremony after marriage to man didn't work out. Now, this is not a tabloid. This is a Mirror News out of the UK. A British woman finally found the partner of her dreams, her pet dog, while she can be sure they won't leave the toilet seat up or put foam around the sink. There's a chance she might get fleas. As a matter of fact, the unusual service in Split was attended by 200 people, and nobody barked their objection. 46-year-old divorcee black stockings and suspenders for the ceremony, while Sheba, that's a female dog. Well, 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 well. And Sheba wore a more traditional white bridal frock. Metro reports, he said, quote, Sheba had been in my life for years, making me laugh and comforting me when I was feeling low. I couldn't think of anything more I'd need from a life partner. She married a human man 20 years ago, but the marriage was short-lived. Family, now, why would they put this in the paper? I'll tell you why. So you'll see it, and you will take a temperature of how things are changing. And you'll people look at it and say, oh, well, that's weird. Yeah, I know. Okay, pass the beans, please, as they sneak up on you. People just going to gaff this off as no big deal. Just some crazy woman. It's way beyond that. They had a viral YouTube something presentation recently where this study had 20 strangers, that'd be two by two, 20 works out 10 each. Men, women. Well, no, actually, hold on, Matt. No, it wasn't 20 men and 20 women. It was mixed. Strangers, all of them were strangers, 20 strangers, paired off in different combinations, might I add, to kiss each other. And they took a YouTube of it, and it was a psychological experiment. So all these strangers, and they paired them off, man to woman, woman to woman, man to man, and of course you know the persuasion, to kiss each other intimately and never have known each other. And then of course you watch it and how they get a little shy and all this. Two men smooching, two women smooching, a white man, a black woman, white man, a white woman, white man, white woman. I mean, all of it. Family has to get you used to it. Now, the first thing that popped me in my mind was back a couple years ago in Rosemont, where was it, Wisconsin or Minnesota? Rosemont High School, where they had a, what do you call it, some kind of gag for the school. Had a little cute gag where some of the athletes or students, seniors, were blindfolded in Rosemont. And it said, you're going to be kissed by someone you don't know or someone you know, and you're to guess who they are. Well, that sounds cute. But that wasn't what it was. The someone that they didn't know was their parents. So you had parents going along with it, kissing his young daughter like he would his wife, and the mother kissing the son like is her husband. And in one case, they're rolling around on the floor with the son, got a hold of the buns. You understand what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about wheat, neither. And so, that they apologized for it and all that sort of thing. But you see, it succeeded in this ritual that people don't realize. Nimrod married his wife, his mother. That's what this is all about. Because I found out there's more schools that did this ritual. And this is the underside of this, these stories, is to act out the occult. I know it sounds like I'm going over the edge on this, but I'm not. Because it all matches out to the occult practices. It's catching up with us. And what these little events are for, now I'm going to tell you why. These are like surveys. Surveys to find out where the culture is at the time. They determine how much outcry that's going to happen. To determine whether the culture is ready to move to the next level. Is Rosemont, Minnesota. So they're not going to do it in Oklahoma. They're not going to do it in North Carolina or Georgia. They're going to a liberal state that they know might be okay. As a matter of fact, they have an article here, 2011. Well, there you go. I just found it. Just now, just a second. Article here says, quote, incest prank at high school pep rally goes viral. It goes viral. They want you to see it. They want you to see all this so it becomes normal and to see what the population will do. So what they do, the COINTELPRO, will monitor the YouTube. And they'll find out what people are saying. And then they report on it as to where the level is of that generation at that time. Well, we have to take another 10 years to get them to where they'll accept it. This is what they discuss at the round table. The round table consists of the Bilderberg representatives, Trilateral Commission representatives, the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London, the Council of Foreign Relations representatives, the Club of Rome representatives, and Gorbachev Foundation. They sit around a round table. After they did their discussions, they come together. And then the round table, they call it, talks about by Carol Quigley. The round table then submits the recommendations and their milestones to the Committee of the 300, which is the Bloodline Illuminati families, that in that moment of their meetings, they'll have a fallen angel either invoked or channeled to lead those meetings. And they will discuss their milestones and objectives for the education, philosophy, religion, science, advancements, arts, politics, and finance, and what place they are to launch the New World Order. And that's how they do it. Yeah. And people on TV don't talk about this. People on the YouTube don't have a clue. You've got some people on there that do, but they are silent and they're subjugated by COINTELPRO, other such Wicca groups that go around there blasting people away. And so they stay quiet. I don't stay quiet. If I get out internationally, I do it in a heartbeat. If I die, I die. I don't care. As long as I get out and say stuff, but I got this little radio station, doggone it, here in this little old town, Mount Airy, where Andy Griffin comes from, you understand? And I'm telling you all the doggone truth, and doggone it, people aren't listening. They aren't catching up. They think that mankind's going to outthink God. I got news for you. That King James Bible is outthinking man, and it sets up, though, the way man could get with the Savior. But they ain't reading it. And these preachers out here, like Billy Graham and MacArthur and Copeland and Brazier and T.D. Jakes and Dollar and Joyce Myers, I mean, the whole doggone lot of them are not teaching the truth. Chuck Baldwin, Manning, the whole lot of them are into this political nonsense, and they're not teaching the true word of God to the people. Playing these stupid games. Lindsey Williams, Terry Jones, playing all these silly games. Westboro Baptist Church, Arnold Murray, Herbert Armstrong, I'm starting to get tired and winded. It's just, the list is long. You see? Sometimes I wonder what keeps me driving. I don't know. But it's just frustrating. At the highest level of government, they have no idea what's going to come down on them. Your four-star generals, they're lost in their position. They're lost in their retirement. They're lost in their blood oath that they've taken against mankind. They're locked in their pride, their uniform. I was a Marine for 12 years, I know. I made sure my little lieutenant bars and captain bars and all that was exactly, not even 1/16th off. I made sure my belt loops and belt length was exactly right. I used a micrometer. I mean, literally, I used, you understand? The pride in the uniform. Well, pride goes before the fall. What? If I got pride, I got an idol. Boy, that's rough for me to say. Whoa. That's true. I got to let my pride go. Before I have room for God, my pride's got to go. My ego's got to go. And if you truly, truly love God, and He knows you do, if He knows you do, He say, well, I got to work on you, boy. So He's going to start taking things away from you. Because He loves you. Satan is going to placate you to keep you there, making you think you're blessed. I'm going to talk about tonight a whole lot of things in Bible study. But one thing here I want to make sure I talk about. Let me leave it up until now in the Bible study. Are the 10 evidences that someone's been saved. There's too many people I'm hearing. Well, I hope I am. I hope you are. I think I am. You think you are. Did you pack your parachute? I think I did. That's a wrong question. That's the wrong answer. I mean, you think you did. You pack your parachute to jump out. You better know you did. You don't get no second chance. Sometimes that second parachute don't open too well. If it does, you're not going to be walking too well when you hit that ground. You better know that your parachute's packed. I want to talk about evidences of how you know you're saved tonight. And sometimes I miss something. I try to cover it the next day. Family, we're at the end of the program today, and for me, I don't know, but for me, it went fast. I will cover, I want to cover tomorrow my epiphany of why blood sacrifices, pain and suffering required for submission, for the remission of sins. I want to talk about that tomorrow. That's what this is all about. Everything is to keep you from this knowledge. It is a supernatural world we live in. All this other is just causing you fear. They're going to come back around to Fukushima, and Nebru is going to pop up again. And the death camps and the FEMA camps and the little yellow and blue and red dots on your post office box. And they got, you know, Russian troops here, and they got Chinese troops here, and it's like an escapade of military organizations all through the United States, and all blah, blah, blah. There we go on and on and on. We should just hurry up, get it done, and get it over with so we can get back to heaven. Or get to heaven, you know, just get this thing over with. You know, but in the meantime, we got the Great Commission to get the word out to everybody else. That's the key. And it's not going to be easy. They're closing the gap, as I've told you today. Mocking God. God won't be mocked. It's like a fish. Like a fish in the ocean. He takes a bite. I got it. Yeah, he says. He starts going, well, yeah, I got it. What's this thing? All of a sudden, he jerked. Uh-oh. Every time he thinks he's got away, he's still connected to that jerk. Well, unless people get so far, God lets get so far too. Our technology, as I understand it, you know when they get that 1G and 2G and 3G, 4G and all that? You know why they keep upgrading? Because God keeps changing the frequencies. Or the devices catch on fire. Or the devices fail. Because God keeps changing the frequency. See, God's in control. He is, man. He keeps changing the frequencies. I can keep upgrading. Now, they know, the scientists know, that there is coming a point to where that rubber band is stretched out that you're not going to get to a 6G phone. It won't work anymore. Because they won't be able to upgrade the frequency vibration of Schumann's resonance. You understand? There's a bigger picture going on here of why they upgrade all the time. That's why these devices don't work after a certain time, because God changes the frequency. And they're always upgrading, moving, changing, fear in fear. They are the ones in fear. You shouldn't be. What are they in fear of? Lord, are you here before our time, Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Are you here before our time? They know their time's coming. And they're in total fear. That's why they got to keep you in fear. I say no. No fear. But if you have fear and trembling, it's for God. Fear of love and respect. Fear that is identified as, defined as love and respect. But by that same token, it's like you fear and love your nuclear family, if you had that experience. At the same time, you love your dad, but you know when you did something bad, your mama says, you wait, your dad gets home. Oh, no. So all day at school, you're worried, oh, come home at 5. That's your nuclear family concept, of course. The mother's the comforter, the caretaker, the teacher. The husband, the father, is supposed to be the breadwinner and the disciplinarian and the man who leads them in God. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the example I'm using proverbially. Of course, now one dad says, wait till the other dad gets home. And one mom says, wait till the other mother gets home. Huh? Well, so you got two caretakers, two comforters. You got two disciplinarians, or two of them are like women. I don't know. Then you got an abusive father who's a Freemason and took a blood oath to keep secrets from the family. Family is all messed up by design. Not accidental. It's not trendy. It's configured by social, psychological engineers based on alchemy. Pre-planning it goes generations ahead. Sampling of the culture to see where they are, to know that to go to the next step or not. It is scientifically designed by Satan in those seven areas I told you about. Because they're trying their control to bring about the New World Order, and it's going by the book, except not on their time schedule, because they're not in control. God is. Whose side do you want to be on? That's not a trick question either. That's a straight-out question. Which side do you want to be on? The one that's won already, or the one that's going to lose and go to hell? I just tell you like it is. For me, it's a daily battle, because I am a sinner. And I guard my thoughts as often as I can, because I know what I've done in my past. I know my weakness. Sometimes I slip. When I slip, one thing I don't slip, I don't drink like I used to. I don't tell lies at all. You don't want to know, don't ask me, because I'll tell you. I've tried to lie just to see what it feels like, honestly. Someone says, well, Tom, you went, did you go there? I can't get myself to say, no, I didn't when I did. If they ask me, did you check your blood pressure today? And I don't want to hear it anymore, but I didn't do it. I try to say, well, yeah, I did, but I can't do it. I can't tell them, well, I checked it. I can't do it to an automated voice. I'm just not going to tell any more lies. I've told my quota of these doggone lies. I don't live in a fantasy anymore. So then that means I better walk a straight and narrow. Because then I have to admit that I did something wrong to somebody. So I got to, you know, this, I'm just telling you something personal, but I don't want anybody else to use. That's what my life is. Sometimes a grunt will get you over it. Tom, what'd you say? But sometimes it won't. Well, family, we'll remind you that we're played up in New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey at highpointradio.net. John Kirkler, K-H-E-R-K-L-E-R. He plays us randomly, our broadcasts and Bible studies. And we're played in Colorado, KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network. Tonight, 7:30 Bible study to 9, and Thursday and Friday. And then tomorrow, 4 o'clock, here we go. And I'll talk tomorrow. I hope people wrote down what I said I was going to talk about. I didn't write it down. But I want to talk about what I wanted, what I said. As I'm getting giddy right now because my brain is gone. Oh, it is. I've been long. I had stuff to tell y'all. God put in my heart to talk about. Sometimes it really makes me tired after it's over. I tell you, honest with you. Honestly. I know what's going on. I know their agenda. I know their objectives. I know who they are. I don't know their time frames. But so family, when you know the Bible, and I'm nobody special, I just read it. You trust it, you understand? You know more than cosmic top secret at the Pentagon knows. You really do. Because they're going to fail. And when these tribulations began, they're no longer in control. I'll look at a bigger picture. They'll come off their high horse when they realize they don't have control like they thought they did. Not yet. They're scrambling, trying to maintain control, trying to save themselves in their own way. But they're cursed until the tribulations begin, which will break that curse, hopefully, for some. Some it won't. That's what the shaking is all about. Yes, God's going to get your attention. He knows how to do it, too. You all have a great night and know that Jesus Christ won the cross. If you're convicted today, you better listen to it. It won't be me at all. I'm nobody. But to be that Holy Spirit talking to you and you alone, and so between you and the Holy Spirit, no preacher, no rabbi, no priest. It's between you and that Holy Spirit, and nobody's in between. And the only true word of God on the face of this earth is the King James Bible. Springmeyer's wrong. Sheba's wrong. All the rest of them are wrong. The King James is the sole word of God. And all you got to do is ask them, what Bible do you use? And watch what they do. Watch them squirm. And hopefully, when you've done that, that Holy Spirit will convict them of the 20% lies they're telling. Because, family, this is serious. Because people that are trusted are listened to, and people go by it. And this is their role, is to tell you 80% truth, and they lie about the other 20%. Mary did not marry Jesus. And Eve did not have sex with Samuel. Oh, I'm not joking. That's what the Christian identity and others believe. Merovingians and Springmeyer and all the rest believe that Jesus married Mary and they had children. That's a lie from the pit of Almighty, that's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not true at all. They have nothing to substantiate that except the reputation of which people trust. And they're misusing that trust. God will judge them. It's our job to correct, rebuke, and bring it up. Whatever definition you want to use for that word. I got to go now. So y'all have a great night. And get close to that Bible. It's the King James. Because you know why? One of the main reasons is it's got all the verses in it. That's so basic. I can't believe it. Anyway, the others don't. The others, all of them, match the New Age movement. As somebody mentioned to me, that's where that comes in. Oh, now I know. You see, the corrupted Bibles are more than likely inspired by the fallen angels themselves. The changed references refer to he and Sananda, or Satan, NIV Bible, the Message, the New American Standard Bible. You understand, all of them, Jerusalem Bible, all of them, no exception except for the King James. And all these religious books are filled with errors of fallen angels inspired as well, written to draw the hearts of man away from the true word of God in the King James Bible. That's where that fits. Family, get with it. Love y'all. You have a good night. And for those, I'll see you tonight at 7:30, Bible study. God be with you. This is the Watchman for Jesus, signing off. Looking out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappear in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. Good night. God bless. And it will return to its normal 24-hour loop. God bless. Good night.